As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, we're going to be talking about the Buffalo Field Campaign, giving an update on the situation with the wild buffalo in Yellowstone. And the Buffalo Field Campaign is the only group working in the field every day to stop the slaughter and harassment of Yellowstone's wild buffalo. Volunteers from around the world defend buffalo on their traditional winter habitat and advocate for their protection. Their daily patrols stand with the buffalo on the ground they choose to be on and document every move made against them. Volunteers spend all day from sunrise until sunset watching and documenting actions taken against the buffalo. They run patrols from cars, skis, and snowshoes to protect buffalo outside the park. Tactics range from video documentation to nonviolent civil disobedience. And Friday before last, the Buffalo Field Campaign met with Yellowstone National Park administrators. And last Tuesday, they attended the Interagency Bison Management Plan open house. And at both meetings, the news from the agencies wasn't very good. The agencies are preparing to heavily haze, capture, and slaughter buffalo this year based on Yellowstone's estimate of 4,700 individuals. The Interagency Bison Management Plan has made a cap of 3,000 for wild buffalo living in Yellowstone, despite the fact that Yellowstone biologists have stated time and again that the park could sustain well over 5,000. They've capped it at 3,000. And joining me right now to discuss this is Stephanie C. She is media coordinator for the Buffalo Field Campaign. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, how's it going, George?
Good, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having us on.
So why don't we start off by talking about this current situation with the buffalo. Do you have reason to believe that these agencies, the Interagency Bison Management Plan and Yellowstone National Park administrators, that they're going to, that their plan is to haze, capture, and slaughter how many buffalo this year?
Well, I mean, they could, according to the numbers in their plan, they could potentially kill upwards of 1,700 buffalo indiscriminately without even testing them for the disease that they're saying that this issue is all about. And, you know, that population cap, like you were talking about, that 3,000 number, that is a politically derived number. It has nothing to do with the carrying capacity of the park, and nor does it take into consideration the genetic integrity and viability of this last wild population of buffalo in the U.S. So it's pretty dangerous that we're looking at the potential slaughter of almost 2,000 wild bison.
Now, they are saying that they're going to haze, capture, and slaughter. What do they mean by haze, if you could refresh me on that?
Hazing is a very aggressive way of pushing buffalo out of Montana. Wild buffalo have been isolated and now live in Yellowstone National Park. They're native to the entire continent, but currently the wild bison live in Yellowstone. When the winters come, the snow gets really deep. Yellowstone's on a very high plateau, so the bison and other wildlife have to migrate to lower elevation lands to survive. And those lands lie in Montana, which has a zero tolerance policy against wild buffalo. And so what happens is when the buffalo come out to their traditional winter range as they're migrating, the Department of Livestock, National Park Service, and other agencies come out in snowmobiles with a helicopter, on horseback, ATVs, trucks, and they have all the law enforcement you can possibly dream of, forcing buffalo off of the ground they choose to be on and pushing them back into Yellowstone. Sometimes that happens through really, really deep snow, which is very difficult for any wildlife in the severe winter months here. And sometimes it happens in the spring when the mama buffalo are pregnant or have little tiny baby calves, and the buffalo get pushed for miles back into Yellowstone where they don't want to be because they know where their food source is. Wild bison are a migratory species, and they need to move with the seasons and availability of forage. So hazing is mechanized forcing buffalo off of the ground they choose to be on, pushing them back into Yellowstone, and it takes a really heavy toll. And typically, the agencies give them three chances. If they have a group of buffalo that they've hazed three times, on the third time, they will likely capture them and then send them to slaughterhouses.
And these agents
this year, because the number is, according to the agencies, so high. It's not high when you consider there were once 50 million buffalo in the country. They may capture without putting too much effort into hazing them back into the park.
And these agencies are Yellowstone National Park, the Montana Department of Livestock, and Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Are those the agencies you're speaking of?
Those are three of the agencies, uh-huh. And there's two more federal agencies, which is the National Forest Service. We have Gallatin National Forest that surrounds a good portion of Yellowstone National Park. And the other agency is the infamous Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, which falls under the USDA, Department of Agriculture.
You say that this plan by the agencies that you're speaking of to, again, haze, capture, and slaughter up to possibly 2,000 buffalo this coming year, this coming winter, is that
yes.
When they plan to do this?
Right now, the irony is the state of Montana has a quote-unquote buffalo hunt going on. So during this hunt, which we strongly oppose because wild buffalo are never allowed to even live in Montana, so they're just coming across the border and getting shot by hunters, the hunt goes until February 15th, and the Department of Livestock and the other agencies have said once the hunt's over, they're going to aggressively begin hazing and fully implementing the Interagency Bison Management Plan, which includes capture and slaughter, and also sending orphaned calves to a quarantine facility.
So no rest for the wild buffalo, basically, right straight from the hunt into government agency slaughter?
Exactly. There's never a time that wild buffalo are allowed to live in Montana without being subjected to shooting, hazing, capture, slaughter, etc.
So you say that they plan to kill 2,000 Yellowstone wild buffalo coming up later this year and through into next year. That's the plan?
Typically what happens is the buffalo begin to migrate around maybe November. Maybe you'll see a few bulls coming out sooner, earlier in the fall. But then you get larger groups coming out towards midwinter and into the spring. The spring is when the large migration really happens, when the buffalo, the mixed herds, come to their calving grounds on Horse Butte, which lies outside of the park. And that's when we expect to see a really heavy operation. But, you know, we have this kind of a heads up, so we have an opportunity now to really shake these agencies and let them know that this is not acceptable, that wild bison are native wildlife and they must trump the cattle industry.
Right. That's what I was going to ask you. You say that this population cap that the agencies have set of 3,000 wild buffalo living in Yellowstone is a politically derived population cap and is not based on, you know, whether or not the park could really sustain that many or more. And I'm wondering what is the politics behind that? You say it's politically derived. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's apparently it's what the Department of Livestock, who has no wisdom in wildlife management or wildlife biology, thinks that they can manage. So it's just a convenience number, in other words.
Well,
it has nothing to do with anything. And Yellowstone is a very small, you look on a map of the entire country and that little green dot in southwest Montana and northwest, or southeast Montana and northwest Wyoming is very small. And wild buffalo need to come out of those boundaries that humans have set up around the park to access winter range and to access their calving grounds.
So I guess what I'm trying to figure out is what is behind the agency's policy of hazing, capturing, and slaughtering? What's really behind all that? Is it, you know?
It's an age-old war. We're really still in the days of, Western expansion, and the buffalo wars are continuing to date. Nothing much has really changed. And what's happening here, there's been a disease that the cattle industry brought to this country and introduced to wildlife, such as buffalo and elk. And the cattle industry claims now that they fear that the wildlife is going to transmit this disease. Wild bison have never transmitted brucellosis to domestic cattle, yet the cattle industry is very powerful and is, you know, putting out all these scare tactics in a political propaganda to maintain a fear in brucellosis. Even though you can eat the meat, you can drink the milk if it's pasteurized, it's, you know, people have been doing it for a long time. They're using this disease to control bison movement, and the underlying real issue is grass, because they're very much afraid. But, you know, bison are direct competitors with cattle. They're native to this land. They are the native bovine of North America. And, you know, the bison were wiped out in part so that not only to subjugate native cultures, Native Americans, but also to make room for domestic cattle. And so the ranching industry does not want to see wild buffalo restoring themselves upon the landscape.
But the ranch...
They're using this disease as a ways and means to try and keep buffalo from doing just that.
But the cattle industry doesn't run the agencies, do they?
Well, it sure does look like it. It seems that every agency that we're dealing with in this plan is in the pocket of the cattle industry. Every agency is upholding the economic interests of one state's cattle industry, and it's ridiculous. I mean, the federal tax dollars are footing the bill for the slaughter of the last wild bison in the United States to benefit one state's economic interest.
Montana.
Montana.
And is this similar to maybe in the USDA or the FCC, how there's kind of a revolving door between the industry, the cattle industry in this case, and the agencies that are creating the regulations that would affect the cattle industry or affect the movement of the wild buffalo in and out of Yellowstone National Park? Is that kind of thing going on?
Yeah, it is going on. I mean, and a lot of these agencies are in the pockets of the cattle industry, and I'm not quite
sure. What do you mean by that? That they're
in
the pockets?
I'm not quite sure why the cattle industry is so powerful, but it seems that that is the voice that the agencies that are even sworn to protect and conserve wildlife, they are addressing the interests of the cattle industry rather than maintaining integrity within their own agencies and protecting native wildlife, protecting habitat, conserving wildlife. They're doing whatever it is that the ranching industry screams about, whether it's killing wolves, poisoning prairie dogs, or slaughtering wild bison. It's one blow after another for wild lands and wild creatures when it comes to the cattle industry.
Now, you said that there will be an opportunity for people to help to stop this harassment and slaughter of the wild buffalo before it starts. Maybe you can talk about how people can get involved, but also at the same time, didn't you have some recent or fairly recent victories where people did get involved and it made a difference?
We did. Last year, it was late in the season, and there were still about 300 buffalo in Montana with little tiny babies. It was calving season, and the Department of Livestock, what happened was there was a case of a brucellosis transmission north and east of Yellowstone out of the wild buffalo's range completely, current range completely, and the cattle industry found brucellosis in their cattle, and of course, the first thing they do is try to pin it on bison. Well, it turns out that their tests, they know that it didn't come from bison because they traced the cattle herd, but they're still trying to pin it on Yellowstone wildlife. And the funny thing is that their tests were inconclusive, and they have destroyed the tissue samples of the cattle that were infected, and so we'll never know exactly where it came from. We'll never know if it wasn't imported cattle from Mexico, the Corriente cattle that were in this herd that potentially could have brought brucellosis. Or, you know, I mean, it's just completely inconclusive, but they are pointing the finger to Yellowstone, and now they're going to be really heavily handed in their aggressive management of wild bison. And so when those 300 buffalo were out, it was right after this brucellosis incident happened, and so they freaked out, and they held this emergency Board of Livestock meeting and had planned to capture and send to slaughter 300 buffalo, including little tiny red calves. So we contacted all the media and all the supporters and other organizations and really got the ball rolling to get people to contact decision makers such as the governor of Montana and Yellowstone National Park and tell them that if they made this move that they would really regret it. And it worked. They ended up, it wasn't like a perfect victory because they still hazed the buffalo into the park, but they did not slaughter them. And so the lives of 300 buffalo were saved for the time being.
And do you
and
think
that was because of people, because people picked up the phone, they wrote letters, they contacted these agencies and spoke their minds.
And do you think you could have a repeat success in this case?
I sure hope so.
Where they're planning to kill 2,000?
I hope so. I mean, we can definitely use people out here in the field. And, of course, we provide room and board to anyone willing to stand in defense of the last wild buffalo. We haven't decided what various things we might be doing, but to tell us that you might take 2,000 buffalo, we're gonna get busy. We're not going to be sitting by and waiting for this to happen.
What kinds of things will you be doing, and what kinds of things have you done in the past? It says on your website that you do nonviolent civil disobedience, but you also try to work from within. I mean, the meetings and other things.
Right.
So describe some of the tactics that you use.
There's a variety of tactics, and some are, you know, associated with the campaign, and some are just volunteers that have been through here witnessing things, and they take it upon themselves to stand in the way of bison slaughter or of agencies and the buffalo. There's been individuals that have occupied bison traps and shut them down for weeks at a time. There have been individuals who have locked down to cattle guards so that agencies can't get to a trap that they might intend to use for bison. There's been individuals that have locked down inside the Department of Livestock office. There's been, you know, banner hangs to try and draw a lot of attention in cities such as Bozeman, which is a pretty populated and political city here in Montana, as well as in Helena. We do puppet shows, we do rallies, we do all kinds of different things, and, you know, a lot of people sometimes take it upon themselves to go even further to try and draw attention to this issue and to put themselves in the way of the agencies who want to harm the buffalo.
What can people do if they can't make it out to Montana and to the area that you're in, if they can't physically come and be a volunteer there or do things in the area? What types of things can they do from here, say?
They can do all kinds of things. They can write letters. I know sometimes people don't feel that that's a strong tactic, but it does work. It does work. It does work. Write letters, call, email, fax Montana's governor, Brian Schweitzer, and Yellowstone National Park Superintendent Suzanne Lewis. Those are two individuals that need to hear from everyone. These are a national treasure. This herd is the last wild herd. Stop the slaughter now. Provide habitat for wild bison in their native Montana. There's contact information for all these folks on our website for every agency that's involved with the interagency bison management plan. Another really great thing that people can do is write letters to the editor of local and national media. And you don't have to be a genius to write a letter to the editor. Anyone can do it. And it's a great way, and it's a free way, to get the word out about what's going on to a lot of different people. And a lot of decision makers also read the opinion section. So it's good to submit letters and get their attention as well.
What would you say right now if you wrote a letter to the editor of the paper?
I would say, I mean, one thing we have out here is the Horse Butte Peninsula, which is on the Gallatin National Forest, and it is the buffalo's calving ground. For one of the sub herds always comes out to Horse Butte to calve. The Horse Butte Peninsula is now cattle free. There's no cows anytime at all. No reason that wild buffalo should not be able to maintain themselves out there. And so one message to these decision makers is give them Horse Butte. Give them Horse Butte. It's their calving grounds. They need to be there. There's no cattle. And that's just a simple first step. You know, we'll push the envelope a little bit more, but right now that's the main thing that they can do.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, streaming online at freakradio.org. I'm speaking with Stephanie C. She is media coordinator for the Buffalo Field Campaign, and we're talking about plans by federal and state agencies, Montana state agencies and federal agencies, to coming up this winter again, heavily haze capture and slaughter buffalo in Yellowstone area. They say the Interagency Bison Management Plan has a population cap for wild buffalo living in Yellowstone at 3,000. The current estimated population is 4,700. I read in your recent report update, the Buffalo Field Campaign update, that Yellowstone biologists are saying that the park could easily sustain well over 5,000 and that it's currently at 4,700, which is clearly less than that. So what say do scientists have in all this, the biologists and others? What are they saying, and are they being heard?
They're not being heard because they are saying that, you know, there's no carrying capacity set. We can sustain more buffalo than what this plan is dictating, than what the population currently is right now. But a lot of science, as you know, just from the way things are going these days, is bought. So it's the scientists that are pro-industry, pro-economics, that are being heard, and the voice of the environmentalists, the voice of reason, the voice of, you know, biological wisdom or ecological wisdom is not being heard. So here again, we have this 3,000 population cap. And the other thing with that is that people mistakenly think of these bison as Yellowstone bison, which they're only Yellowstone bison because they're forced to live there. These are Great Plains native bison. These are our last wild bison, genetically intact. They're the last herd that follows the instinct to migrate, and they're the last ones that have continuously occupied their native range. They haven't been put there. They survived there, and they need to get out, and that's what we're trying to let them do, make happen. But they're being forced to stay in Yellowstone, and so this population cap is really, kind of confusing, because these aren't Yellowstone bison. They're the last wild American bison, and they need to be able to leave the confines.
So you're saying these boundaries are kind of just...
They're arbitrary. They're man-made. They don't follow ecological anything. And you know, Yellowstone may provide great summer habitat, but winter habitat lies in lower elevation lands. And not just for the bison, but for the elk and a lot of other ungulates and that don't hibernate.
So the overall picture we're talking about here is that we're talking about the last remaining truly wild buffalo, not the...
Right.
There are domesticated bison, but that's not what we're talking about.
Right.
And basically, if these bison leave the boundary of Yellowstone National Park, as soon as they step over that arbitrary boundary, they are subject to hazing, capturing, and being slaughtered.
And being shot.
And being outright shot. And even within the confines of Yellowstone National Park, they're not safe if they're deemed overpopulated. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is true. On the northern boundary of the park, there's a bison trap inside the boundary of Yellowstone National Park. And buffalo are many times hazed, captured, slaughtered before they ever even have left the park boundary. So just for merely approaching this line in the sand, wild bison are persecuted.
Can they be killed inside the park boundary if it's deemed that they're overpopulated? Like the 2,000 they plan to kill.
They haven't done that yet.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, how many people in the public that visit Yellowstone National Park do you think are aware of the fact that this is going on?
Well, we set up tables, information tables, inside Yellowstone every summer, and we talk to hundreds and hundreds of people. We do end up hearing back from them, and they want to get involved and take action. They've spent time with the buffalo. They can't believe what goes on when they're not there. So, I mean, we're doing our best to reach out to as many as possible, but for the most part, all of this is going on while most people are not visiting the park, experiencing the park.
Mm-hmm.
So people aren't seeing it firsthand.
And again, all of this is going on because these agencies that we're talking about, the federal and state agencies, are basically falling in line with the cattle-based economy of the area. And the justification for the hazing and capturing and slaughtering of these wild buffalo is the idea that maybe they can transfer brucellosis into cattle, or vice versa, cattle into buffalo and then buffalo into cattle, and that they're saying that is a danger to the cattle industry.
Right, which is kind of, you know, questionable, because a couple other states lost their brucellosis-free status. You haven't heard anything about their beef industry suffering any consequences. Texas has never had its brucellosis-free status, and they're like one of the most famous beef states ever. So, again, this is just a land control issue. The cattle wants to maintain the power over public lands, and they maintain this disease as being this huge danger.
Now, isn't there also some question, though, about whether or not brucellosis can even be passed from wild buffalo into cattle?
There is. It's never happened in the wild. The only time it ever happened was under forced conditions at Texas A&M University, when they essentially force-fed infected material from a bison to a cow. So that's in a laboratory setting. You know, they do all kinds of crazy things in laboratories that would never happen in the natural world.
There's no recorded wild transfer of brucellosis to cattle from wild buffalo, yet that is still successfully used as a justification by the cattle industry and therefore by agencies to implement these policies?
Right. It makes absolutely no sense.
It doesn't seem to make much sense.
No. So the more you look at this issue, the less sense it makes. And it's really, the simple thing is, the cattle industry could manage their herds and wild buffalo could roam, especially on our public lands. And if the cattle industry pays attention to its own business, then things will be fine. But it's not going to be that way. The cattle industry just wants to have control over everything.
I just
that
have
walks
a...
and breathes and swims and flies and grazes.
I just have a couple more questions for you. I'm wondering... if the Buffalo Field Campaign has ever called for a boycott of beef?
We do. We have an ongoing beef boycott, and there's information on our website. So we definitely, we don't serve any livestock products here, and we don't eat beef, and we ask that other people choose not to eat beef, especially if you don't know where it's coming from. Because the livestock industry is really destroying wildlands and wildlife at an unprecedented rate. And, you know, so many of our politicians are doing anything to protect those interests, and it's everything else is suffering in the process.
And also, when you say that the plan, again, by the federal and Montana state agencies, we're talking about Yellowstone National Park, the Montana Department of Livestock, and Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and other agencies plan to slaughter up to 2,000 buffalo this winter. Maybe you could talk about how they go about that, because these are not domestic. These are not that. I'll say my own bias here is that I'm vegetarian. I don't eat any animals, and I think that the factory farming is horrible, and I don't think it's okay to slaughter quote unquote domestic animals either. But
right. When
it comes to these wild buffalo, they are not domestic, and yet they're put through the same type of slaughter process, are they not?
Yes.
And how do they react to that?
Horribly. Absolutely horribly. Wild buffalo in the wild, even during like the rut season when bulls are competing for cows, don't harm each other. When they are captured by these agencies and put, they separate them by sex and age as much as they can to avoid injury. They gore each other. They're so scared, so freaked out. They react horribly to this. Of course they do. They're wild animals. They're supposed to be living free. And the agencies, they to do their testing, if they choose to test them for this brucellosis exposure, they run them through these glorified cattle chutes that closes on their necks, and many times we've gotten footage of them missing and breaking horns off of buffalo, and buffalo bleeding from these missing horns, and buffalo dying from being gored by other buffalo. They react to it horribly. And if you want to see the footage of this, if you want to really know what's going on, please visit buffalofieldcampaign.org and check out our video gallery. It's important that people see what's happening to these animals for the sake of beef, for the sake of beef. And it's inexcusable, and it has to stop.
And you can also, that's buffalofieldcampaign.org?
That's our website.
And you can also find there, what other things can you find there besides the videos you were just speaking of?
There's lots of updates from the field. We report every week on what we've been seeing in the field, press releases, photographs, contact information for decision makers, information for writing letters to the editor. We have a petition online to help list wild buffalo under the Endangered Species Act. that we'd really appreciate getting signatures for. There's all kinds of information on here. There's background info on the disease, on wild buffalo, on anything you can possibly think of relating to this issue. There's information about boycotting the beef and cattle industry and all the reasons why that's really important. So visit the website. There's tons of info, and feel free to contact us with any questions whatsoever.
And I'm sure there's current updates and all kinds of ideas on things folks can
yes.
do that range from going there, from writing letters and making phone calls to actually going there and being involved.
Joining us on the front lines, room and board provided.
When this was, when the threat to the 300 buffalo you were talking about happened last 6 months ago?
That was at the beginning of June, into May. That uh-huh. was late in the season. It was right around the beginning of June.
You know, I had never taken any action before that through the Buffalo Field Campaign, but when I heard about that, I made some phone calls too and emails and things, and when it all worked out that they weren't going to, none of them were going to be killed, it felt like I'd been involved.
Yeah, and you were. Thank you.
So
it made
people can do something even when they're not there.
Yeah.
And it will make a difference.
I mean, that got covered in the London Times, the New York Times, and the articles are saying public pressure made the difference. Public pressure. We can do it.
Yeah, it was pretty clear that it had definitely made a difference, because it was just, you know, some folks there where you're at, and it didn't become a more national or internationally known situation, probably they would have gone ahead with
right?
the plan. You know,
exactly.
So people from all over really can help by getting involved and don't necessarily.
They can. And Montana is afraid of a black eye from the public. And so we have to let them know that if they choose to continue to act this way towards buffalo, they are going to get a really big, fat black eye. They could be the blight on the state.
So again, the website to check out is buffalofieldcampaign.org, and I've been speaking with Stephanie C., media coordinator for BFC. I'll be giving out a little bit more information after we hang up. But thank you so much, Stephanie, for joining
me. Thank you, George.
You take care, and we'll be probably getting an update from you in the future. And
yes,
hopefully it'll
right.
be good
Great
news again.
Great talking with you.
Great talking to you, too. So again, Stephanie C. of Buffalo Field Campaign. They're the only group working in the field every day to stop the slaughter and harassment of Yellowstone's wild buffalo. Volunteers from around the world defend buffalo on their traditional winter habitat and advocate for their protection. They have daily patrols. They do a variety of tactics, from video documentation to nonviolent civil disobedience, and you can go join them there and volunteer there to help stop the buffalo slaughter, or you can help out from right where you're at. Go to their website at buffalofieldcampaign.org. Again, the update on the situation is that last week, the Buffalo Field Campaign met with Yellowstone National Park administrators and then again later with Interagency Bison Management Plan at their open house and at both meetings. The news from the agencies was that they're preparing to heavily haze, capture, and slaughter up to 2,000 buffalo this winter. And according to the Buffalo Field Campaign, this is a politically derived plan, and the population cap for 3,000 wild buffalo living in Yellowstone is a political one, and they ask that people join in to get a hold of these federal and state agencies and make sure that this coming winter that this hazing, capture, and slaughter does not happen. Again, Yellowstone biologists stating that the park could sustain well over 5,000 buffalo. Currently, estimate of the herd is at about 4,700. So the Buffalo Field Campaign wants folks to join in and help stop the harassment and slaughter before it begins. You can go to their website at buffalofieldcampaign.org to find out how you can get involved. Another thing they're trying to do and that they're asking the agencies to do is on the western boundary of Yellowstone. They want the wild buffalo to be allowed to have the Horse Butte Peninsula. The Horse Butte is now completely cattle-free, and they say there's no excuse for the agencies to insist on capturing and killing wild buffalo for accessing that land. So they want agencies to allow the wild buffalo to calve at the Horse Butte Peninsula. That's another thing that they're calling on them to do. And they want the agency's decisions to not be based on cattle industry, economics, and politics. and ask again that people raise their voices and let them know that this is wrong. So again, to get involved, to check out what the Buffalo Field Campaign is up to and to join in if you feel inclined, is buffalofieldcampaign.org. You can get all the information that you need there to get involved and stay informed. Thanks so much for listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM.